Hello and greetings from Grace Bible Church of Rolling Meadows, where we boldly speak the mystery. Dear listener, thank you for joining us today, and I'll ask you the question I've asked at the beginning of each of the segment of this series. Do you know what the mystery is? The mystery is the most important thing you need to know about today. Do you know what the mystery is? Are you aware of it? Or is the mystery still a mystery to you? Have people been successful in steering you away from the mystery, keeping the mystery hidden from you? That's why we're doing this series, to expose the lies of historic Christianity that have kept God's mystery truth from you. And why is this mystery so important? Well, we saw in our first lesson, this is part three of an ongoing lesson, and the first two parts we demonstrated from Romans 16:25 that the way God establishes believers today is through the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's what establishes, that's what strengthens, that's what edifies, that's what empowers believers today. Now, if you don't know what the mystery is, well, the corollary of that is if you don't know what the mystery is, you may be empowered and strengthened and established by a million things, but you're not being established by God and His Word for today. What God uses to establish believers today is His mystery truth. Without that, you can't be established in God's plan and purpose for today. With the next thing Romans 16:25 tells us about this mystery is it had been kept secret since the world began. So you see, you're not going to find it in the ministry of Peter and the 12. You're not going to find it in the ministry of Jesus and the gospel accounts. You're not going to find it in the writings of the prophets or the law of Moses. You're not going to find it in any of those places. You're not going to find it in the Psalms. You're not going to find it in the historical books, the poetical book of the Old Testament. You're not going to find it there. It's something that had been kept secret since the world began. And that's where Paul's new and distinct and unique apostleship comes in. So far, we've looked at that first great lie of historic Christianity, that Paul's apostleship is not distinct, unique, and new. That's a lie of historic Christianity. And you know, that lie goes all the way back to the days of Paul himself. Just think Paul's writings to the Corinthians and the Galatians. And at the end of his ministry, his comment to Timothy that all in Asia have turned away from me. Turning away from Paul's distinct apostleship has been the main thrust of Satan operating through historic Christianity, generating these lies that deceive people and keep God's mystery truth from people. And that's been going on now for 2,000 years. And the first, most fundamental, great lie we saw in the previous two episodes is a lie that Paul's apostleship is not distinct, unique, and new. He's just carrying on from Peter and the 12, who are carrying on from Jesus and His earthly ministry, who are just carrying on from the Old Testament. He's just one in a long line of God's spokesmen. And you see, the minute you do that, you set up the groundwork for all the other lies of historic Christianity. And we saw in the first two episodes that that's not the case. Paul couldn't have been, not only shouldn't have been, but couldn't have been one of the 12. He wasn't qualified. And he couldn't have been the 13th either, because Peter and the 12, we saw in the second episode, Peter and the 12 were operating on the prophetic way of Gentile blessing, which provides blessings to the world with Israel and through her rise. Paul comes on the scene, and Israel has stumbled and fallen in unbelief. He comes on the scene, and God gives him, reveals to him a new way of blessing the world, and that's apart from Israel and through her fall. Romans 11. That's the distinction. Paul shouldn't and couldn't have been one of the 12, and he's most certainly not the 13th. He's God's new and distinct and unique apostleship who's going to carry out a new and unique work. When Satan attacks through the lies of historic Christianity, it's to lead you away from God's mystery truth. And to a large part, I'm guessing that most of the listeners out there, for the most part, they've been successful. You don't know what the mystery is. You're not familiar with it. But God's desire in Ephesians 3 is that all people might come into the full understanding of the mystery. So let's look at some more of these things. So Paul couldn't have been one of the 12, and he's certainly not the 13th. He's making known a new and distinct and unique way of God's blessings being poured out to the world. And that is not the way Peter and the 12 expected, with Israel and through her rise. Through Paul, God makes known how he can bless the world apart from national Israel and through her fall. And now that leads into the second great lie. We've debunked the first one, but as soon as you accept the lie that Paul's apostleship is not distinct, then that leads to a whole bunch of other lies. And the next lie we're going to look at is the lie is that there is only one plan of God in the Bible. It's a plan that goes started in Genesis and goes all the way through Revelation. And of course, this generates from the throwing away of Paul's distinct apostleship, because if Paul's apostleship is distinct, you won't have one plan, you'll have two plans in God's Word. Two purposes, two programs. But in throwing away Paul's distinct apostleship, that opens up the door to the second lie, that from the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is just God's ongoing revelation of one plan and purpose. And that plan and purpose is centered on man and his redemption. You may have heard of this in a theological term of redempto or redemptive historical theology, and it provides the basis. This is the second great lie of historic Christianity, that your Bible just reveals one purpose of God from Genesis to Revelation, and it's centered on man and his redemption. But I'm going to demonstrate today that that's a lie, that's an error, that's false teaching. The Bible doesn't reveal just one purpose of God as it goes from Genesis to Revelation. It reveals two purposes of God. And let's take a look at that. And these two purposes of God, just to kind of summarize what's going to be the final answer, the whole Bible reveals two purposes of God, and they're both centered not on man and his redemption. As wonderful as man's redemption is, I participate in the redemption God's provided for sinners. I'm thankful for it. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And I thank God for it every second of every day. But that is not the center of what his purpose. Instead of one purpose centered on man and his redemption, the Bible reveals two divine purposes, and they're both centered on God and his glory. Let's look at Genesis 1, verse 1. Most of us could probably just quote this off the top of our head. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So very first word of the Bible indicates that there are two spheres of existence. There's a heavenly realm and there's an earthly realm. All right, now let's go to the very last verses of the Bible, Revelation 21. Look how the Bible ends. It starts with the creation of two realms of existence, a heavenly realm and an earthly realm. And look how it ends, Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So now we hear it, the Bible closes with a recreation, with a new heaven and a new earth. We still have our two spheres of existence, a heavenly sphere and an earthly sphere. Now, we're not going to look at all these verses. Most of us understand this right away. And that is that we know now that both of those spheres of existence fell. Remember, the heavenly realm fell with the rebellion of Satan and his hosts, corrupting God's glory in the heavenlies. And then we also know where Genesis picks up is that the earthly realm also fell through Adam's fall, corrupting God's glory in the earthly realm. So here we have the situation when we open and close the Bible, we have this problem. We have the creation created in two spheres of existence, and they're created good. The heavenly sphere and the earthly sphere. But then, between the first and final verses of the Bible, the heavenly realm falls through Satan's fall, corrupting God's glory there, and the earthly realm falls through Adam's fall, corrupting God's glory on earth. And the Bible closes, however, with that new heaven, that restored heaven, a new heaven that has the glory, whereby the glory of God is reestablished in the heavenly realm, and a new earth, whereby God's glory is reestablished on the earth. So we have two realms of existence. Now, when we continue reading in the book of Genesis, as you go through that and you're reading, what does he focus on? Now, once we get out of those first verses of Genesis, what is immediately focused on? He immediately focuses our attention on the earth, and then a plot of land in the earth, and a Garden of Eden, and then a man put in that Garden of Eden. He focuses all our attention on earth. And we go through the judgments, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, and the arrival of Abraham, which sets up the groundwork for the arrival of the nation of Israel. And what he displays now as you go from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament is how God is going to reestablish his glory on earth. And that's what Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Paul tells us in Romans 15 that Christ came to confirm the promises made to Israel's father. He came to confirm how God is going to reestablish his glory on earth through the nation of Israel. But when we get all the way through the earthly ministry of Christ and the ministry of Peter and the 12, God still hasn't spoken about something. There's something he has kept secret, something he hasn't explained, something he hasn't revealed. He's been revealing from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, been revealing how he's going to reestablish his glory on earth. But what he doesn't reveal is how is he going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. That's the big question when we get in the Bible now. We have two spheres of existence. Both have corrupted the glory of God. So far, when we read the Bible, when we go through the Old Testament, and even in the earthly ministry of Christ and those gospel accounts and early Acts with Peter and the 12, all God talks about is how he's going to reestablish his glory on the earth. But when we come to Paul's writing, we find out how God is going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies through the body of Christ. There's two purposes in God's plan and purpose, and they both center on God and his glory. There's his purpose to reestablish his glory on earth as made known in the Old Testament, the earthly ministry of Christ and the ministry of Peter and the 12. And then there's something he kept secret since the world began. but now is revealing it to and through the Apostle Paul. And that's how he's going to fulfill a second purpose, how he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. And he makes that known. He reveals that through the Apostle Paul. So there's two purposes in God's Word. Two plans, two purposes as we go in there. And the first purpose is he explains how he's going to reestablish his glory on earth. And there's a second purpose whereby he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. Two purposes. And now that opens the door to God's truth. That lets God's truth enter the scene. When we throw away Paul's distinct apostleship, that shuts the door to God's truth of his two purposes. It requires, and there's only one purpose of God, centered on man and his redemption. But we embrace Paul's distinct apostleship, it throws the door open to realize that there's two purposes of God, and both are centered on God and his glory. And that opens the door to the distinctions that are so important to understand mystery truth. First of all, you have two purposes, reestablishing his glory in the heavenlies and reestablishing his glory on earth. And that opens the door then, if you have two purposes, it should be not surprising God has two programs whereby he is going to operate to fulfill his purpose to reestablish his glory on earth, and another program, a second program, whereby he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. Let's just look how this is drawn out in Christ's earthly ministry here, just to see that this is what the whole Old Testament was about, and the ministry, and that includes Christ's earthly ministry. Let's go to Luke 1, verse 70. This is Zacharias. Remember, he's prophesying under the control of the Holy Spirit. And let's begin at verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed his people." Christ is about to be born. Christ has come now, and he's going to redeem his people, the nation of Israel. And he's raised up, verse 69, a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke, and here's what we really want to focus on today, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That's the grounding for Christ's earthly ministry. He's not coming to reveal something that had been kept secret since the world began. Christ came in his earthly ministry to confirm and fulfill what had been spoken about since the world began. Watch how this doesn't change even years later as we go into the Acts account with Peter and the 12. Go over to Acts 3. Acts 3. Let's begin at verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, whom the heaven must receive till the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets in that Old Testament since the world began. When you open up Genesis through the whole Old Testament, he's speaking about things having to do with how he's going to reestablish his glory on earth. When Christ comes on the scene in his earthly ministry, that's still what he's dealing with. The things spoken by the prophets since the world began. And even after his resurrection in the ministry of Peter and the 12, they're still speaking about things that had been spoken about since the world began. But now look how the Holy Spirit, when referring and describing Paul's ministry, Paul's apostleship, what God's revealing through Paul. Go to Romans, our favorite verse here, Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now remember, we opened up the gospel accounts. Christ came to confirm the things that have been spoken about since the world began. Peter and the 12 are proclaiming the things that have been spoken about since the world began. Now, if Paul was just another in a long line of God's spokesmen picking up in Peter and the 12's ministry and carrying on where they left off, then what the Holy Spirit should describe Paul's ministry as what was spoken about since the world began. But is that how the Holy Spirit describes Paul's ministry? Romans 16:25. When this is a verse we've covered already in this series. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul's gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. And look how he describes Paul's apostleship and ministry, which had been kept secret since the world began. The Old Testament prophets had been speaking things since the world began. Christ came speaking those same things that had been spoken since the world began. Peter and the 12 in their ministry at Pentecost are still speaking about things God had revealed and spoken about since the world began. Paul comes on the scene, and the Holy Spirit uses that same terminology but turns it inside out and explains that Paul's new and unique and distinct apostleship is new and unique and distinct because he's talking about things that had been kept secret since the world began. So we have two purposes of God. We have his purpose to reestablish his glory on earth, and he's going to do that through the things he spoke about since the world began. We call that the prophetic program. He's going to reestablish his glory in heaven. That's one purpose. And he's going to accomplish that through his prophetic program on earth, as revealed in the Old Testament, as carried out and in the earthly ministry of Christ and the ministry of Peter and the 12 at Pentecost. Then Paul comes on the scene. God pauses this prophetic program to fulfill and reestablish his glory on earth, and he begins a new purpose and program. Through Paul, he's going to now reveal something he never revealed before, something he'd kept secret since the world began. He's going to reveal how he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. And he's going to accomplish that through a body of truth and a program that had been kept secret since the world began. And that's, Paul calls that his mystery program. And then once we realize that, there's not just one purpose and program in the Bible. There's two purposes, both centered on God and his glory. And one to reestablish his glory on earth, one to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. The prophetic program is how he's going to reestablish his glory on earth. The mystery program through the Apostle Paul is how he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. And now that opens up the door, and we realize, well, if he's got two purposes and two programs, it's obvious he must have two peoples. He's got two peoples, and he's going to accomplish these things through two chosen vessels of people. One is going to be the nation of Israel, and one is going to be the body of Christ. So you have two purposes, two programs, two peoples that are revealed and made known in God's Word. It's not one purpose, one program, one people based on man and his redemption. It's two purposes, two programs, two peoples, and they're based on God and his glory. God is going to use the nation of Israel in his prophetic program, which had been spoken about since the world began, to reestablish his glory on earth. and he's going to use the body of Christ through his mystery program, which had been kept secret since the world began, to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. If you would like to hear more about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and the distinct apostleship of Paul, please visit us at gbcrm.org. Until next time.